Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So honored that you have joined. You are listening to the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe, and it is dedicated, 100% dedicated to you, the industrial professionals, the companies that get it done. You're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you're changing the world and lives of people. It is such an honor to be with you today. We have a great interview, which we always do. His name is Carlos Valdez da Pina, and you know what we're going to be talking about? The thing that I keep on harping on, collaboration. Let's get cracking. Collaboration. Once again, if you're not collaborating, you're missing out on solutions. Put that in the bank right there. If you're not collaborating, both internally and externally, you're missing out on solutions that can and will make you a success. And again, I keep on talking about collaboration. I keep on talking about innovation. I keep on talking about education. And I keep on talking about take action. Now, you can't lollygag. Stop lollygagging and overthinking this, because you're going to have to move forward. You're going to have to make mistakes. You're going to have to continue to learn. You're going to have to get back up, because you know why? We depend on you. We depend on you, industry professionals in the companies, to help us move this economy forward. That is your responsibility. That is what we're going to celebrate. That is what we're all about, and you've got to do it. And Carlos, man, he brings a truckload of truth, and it's a great doggone interview. But before, we've got to thank our sponsors. So paper and pencil time. All right, May 21st, 2020 at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, we're talking about be ready to scale digital for manufacturing 4.0 through challenging times. It's a virtual conference because you're all about education too. Now is the time. You got to do it. Here it is. It's free. It's virtual. And it's brought to you by those incredible people at IIoT World. Go out to their website, which is IIoT-World. Find this particular registration. Get scheduled. It's important. And you know who's sponsoring it? That's right. Hitachi Vantara. Now, you want information. You want solutions. You want the ability to know what to do in this real challenging time. Right there. Go out to Hitachi Vantara. That's V-A-N-T-A-R-A. Look around. Reach out to them. I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed without a doubt. And again, it'll all, everything, you name it, it will all be out there at industrialtalk.com. All right, let's get cracking on the interview. His name is Carlos Valdez. It's S's all the way down. Da Pina. He is the founder of Corporate Collaboration Resources. And without a doubt, I just really, truly enjoyed the conversation. But more importantly, he knows what he's talking about. He has this depth, wealth, breadth of knowledge on how to really help companies today, especially today, to have meaningful, collaborative meetings and bringing people together in a real focused way. I'm telling you right now, he backed up that doggone semi full of great information. It's like, beep, beep, beep. I'm here, Scott. I'm going to be dumping it all off. That's what he's all about. And he is open. And his stat card is insane. He's a published author. But anyway, you could tell I'm just a big fan of old Carlos. So anyway, enjoy this particular conversation, this interview, and do something with it. But reach out to Carlos. So here he is, Carlos. Enjoy. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. So glad that you made time in your busy schedule. How is everything happening I think you're out of New Jersey, right?
Yeah, West Orange, New Jersey. Thank you for having me. It's a delight to be with you and to have a chance to have some good conversation in these strange times.
Strange with the capital S.
Yes.
Age. Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, if you're looking out on the video, He's looking really sharp. He's got a great camera, great office. Everything is just 5x5, as well as the mic. He's going to be taking our job on Industrial Talk, no doubt about it, in a real, you know, jet second. Anyway, for the listeners out there, because we're going to be talking a little bit about collaboration, team building, especially now. I mean, I don't have the answers. Honestly, don't have the answers. But I do, but we have to have some answers. We have to have some directions. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Give us a little background on who Carlos is, and then we're going to go into the interview.
Great. Do you want me to talk about me? Is that an
Absolutely.
Invitation?
It's not. Yeah, okay. It's a podcast about you.
what about me? So I think the most salient point is I was inside corporate America for a long time. I spent 17 years at Mars Incorporated as an internal organization effectiveness consultant. Prior to that, I worked at IBM, where I was an internal executive coach to the senior leadership up in their headquarters in Armonk, New York. Before that, I worked for an external consulting firm, and that's where I learned my craft, really. It's where it started. But I've always loved being an internal consultant because I like to see the results of my work. I like to know that I've got something at stake, right? If I do my job well,
yeah,
it makes the company better, the lives of the people better, and I'm in it, right? So I live in New Jersey. I am married. I got two grown kids and a couple of grandkids.
Nice.
And that's been one of the great delights of my life. I had no idea grandparenthood was so cool.
Well, you know what? My daughter was just proposed to last week. And
congratulations.
So all I could just say is like, all right, grandkids now get going. I'm ready.
It's a great thing.
I bet it is. I'm looking forward to it. And maybe we'll have a conversation about just being grandparents. I am looking forward to it. Give me a year or two, and then we'll have that conversation. All right. One of the things that I've been really working on, okay, is during this time, the elephant in the room, what are we going to do? What does the future look like? I don't have a crystal ball. All I know is I've got a couple of key themes: collaboration, innovation, education, take action, speed, right? Try to do some speed in this stuff, and then be willing to make mistakes and keep moving forward. Yep. The area that I'm really interested in, especially in this conversation, is the collaboration part. I believe that we don't have all the answers. This whole pandemic thing has just sent everybody into a loop. I don't have answers, but I know that through collaboration, there's going to be some answers. And you're not going to be working in a vacuum. Can you talk a little bit, one, about collaboration? Then we're going to start talking about how to sort of build that.
Well, so obviously it's working with others is something we have been doing in the workplace forever, right? I mean, as long as there have been structured organizations, people have worked together. So it's interesting. It is my considered opinion, because while I was at Mars, I had the chance to do some research, some actual honest to goodness research. I had over 125 teams in my database. So when I talk about these opinions, I was in the trenches with these folks capturing data on how they worked and what they did. It's interesting to me that collaboration, we think of it as natural. In fact, what's natural is we have the potential to collaborate, but it is a skill. It is a skill. A few people out of 100 might be natural collaborators. Everybody else, we have to learn it and practice it. Because if we don't, we're just going to work on our little silo because that's where we're comfortable. So part one of all this is, let's remember that for collaboration to happen, we have to understand, we're going to have to learn some things. We're going to have to develop some capabilities to do it well. Does that make sense?
It does. Now, right. In out of these 125 teams and only a couple people really have the skills, what are those skills? What are we talking about?
Right. So how do I, the basics, the essentials for a team member, let's talk about team leaders for a second. Let's start there, right?
Okay.
If you're managing a team and what you want to do is unlock people's collaborative capabilities, you've got to create conditions to do that. So let's first of all step back and remember, in most Western companies, and by Western, I mean companies designed after the British and American models, which is what most companies, even in Asia, are designed against, right? Hierarchical, pyramid kind of a shaped organization where there are direct lines of reporting and there are also matrix lines, all this sort of traditional stuff. Not all companies are organized that way, but for those that are, where there's a boss and there's a team. One, if you're the manager of that team, you have to remember that the individuals you're working with were hired as individuals. They are paid as individuals. They are recognized as individuals. They're usually promoted as individuals. The predisposition for individual working in the traditional workplace is very strong, right? Mm-hmm. You're hired as an individual. You want to do well, right? You want your boss to like you.
Right.
We're actually constantly pushed away from collaboration because, look, I want to put food on my table, right? I want to feed my family. I want to get a raise. I want to do better. I'll collaborate if I have to, but hey, I got a job to do that I was hired to do and I'm paid to do. So as a manager of a team, I'm dealing with probably all these really good individuals. How can I get them, when I need them to work well together and not keep going back to their desks and doing the thing that they think they were hired to do that's in their job description? And this is with a real insight from the research we did. So I got to pause for a second. There's this, what I call the achievement drive. We are very, as members of Western society, we're driven to achieve. We're taught to achieve. We're taught from our youngest school age to achieve, right? We want to get good grades. We want to be on the basketball team and we want to score all the points. That drive to achieve is so powerful that it gets in the way of collaboration. So what we figured out at Mars was there's a way you can tap into that achievement drive and direct it towards collaboration. So if I'm a manager, the question I have to answer is, how do I do that? How do I tap into that achievement drive and get all my high achieving individual folks to work together when I need them to? Make sense?
It's spot on, buddy. I'm soaking this up. You just keep talking because I am writing notes and because these are gems.
So here's how we figured this out. There are really three big needs that have to be met. The first one is I want people, and I'm going to use kind of a consultancy word here. I want my team to be more intentional about collaboration. So to hold that thought, for most of us, teamwork is a buzzword. It's on the poster. It's on the one that with the rowers at sunset. Teamwork. Yeah, right? It's be a good team player. We have to go from a generic attitude/mindset of teams and teamwork to collaboration as a specific doable thing. Right. So what we do is we have to get people to choose collaboration as a way to get work done.
Is this number one?
We're still on intention, being intentional.
So
that's number one. We want team members to be intentional. Okay. We want them to say, I get it. If I do this work, it'll be good for me and it'll be good for my team and for my company. I'm going to choose collaboration. I'm not just going to think, teamwork, that's lovely. Let's go out and have a beer together after work.
Or run away.
It ain't that.
If I see that rowing poster, I'm out of there, man. Yeah, I'm not there going there.
So the thing is, as team leader, I want people to be intentional about collaboration. How do I get that? This is number two, clarity. So that's pretty vague. Let me get clear about that. Let me be clear about clarity.
It's like the miscellaneous file.
So I want to, but the clarity is I want to tap into that achievement drive by being really specific about a couple of things. First of all, why is this collaboration valuable and important? So I want to answer the big why question for my team and say, guys, this particular project we're going to collaborate on matters to you as individuals, it matters to this team, and it matters to our company. Here's the why, right? That's got to be compelling for your high achieving individuals who are used to, they get why their work's important, right? They get a paycheck for it every week. They know why they were hired. Why is this collaborative effort important? Tell me that. Two, what is the specific work you're asking me to collaborate on? Once again, we move away from a generic notion of we're all a good team, we got to be good team players, to right here, this specific project requires, in some cases, all of us to work together. So a big why it matters, and a big what. What's the specific work? And then get really clear about what's your role in it. So I need you on this project because you're going to bring this and you're going to do that. And you know what? I'm going to hold you accountable for it. So suddenly collaboration becomes as accountable as your individual work. That's critical to people who are keeping track of their progress, keeping track of what they do. So that clarity about the big why, the big what, and the who, that's what taps into that achievement drive. Does that make any sense?
It's spot on. As I write this stuff down, just because I've taken the notes, I reflect back on my experience and the countless quote team meetings, and mm-hmm. all of these are gaps. I'm more impressed with the fact that you've identified the achievement drive. And it is true. Yeah, how many times does everybody sort of leave that conference room? Yeah, it's fine. We got the whiteboard or whatever, the flip charts, and we've filled it out. And once they pass through that conference door and get back to their office, they're back into the salt mine doing what they do.
Yeah, they do what exactly. All the time. Exactly. Like, now, so there's one other element I want to get in here, and that. Once you've got your clarity, that's creating greater intentionality in your team, you got to have some discipline, right? You got to have a routine to keep this thing going, right? Just because you have one meeting where you clarify stuff, you know, Scott, how fast things change. Clarity, I like to say, clarity is organic. What's clear today, a week from now, especially in this current age of pandemic, it ain't clear anymore. So you have to have the discipline to come back to it. So you were just talking about meetings. That's a discipline, right?
Yeah.
My favorite topic. I just talked about this my second book just came out yesterday, and I tell a story in there. So let me tell that story and we'll talk about discipline.
Yeah.
Imagine a meeting is scheduled for 5 a.m. East Coast U.S. time. It's scheduled for 5 a.m. because we need to get our colleagues in Europe on the line and our colleagues in Asia without making their day terrible, right?
Right.
So we're scheduling this call at 5 a.m. It's a team meeting. And imagine that team meeting, what we're doing is we're going around the virtual table and everybody in our team of eight is just going to offer updates about what they're up to. So I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm skipping my daily workout. I'm going to sit through 3 hours of people talking about stuff. I don't want to be cynical, but I probably don't care about it.
You don't.
And by 2 in the afternoon, I'm wiped out because I've been up since 4:30 in the morning. That's bad discipline, right? That represents is a team that hasn't said, okay, hold on. We know why our collaboration is important. We know what specific work requires it and who needs to be involved. Therefore, our meetings should reflect that. Our meetings should only be about the stuff that's in line with our big why and the what, and we know who needs to be there. If the topic of the meeting isn't about that, then we shouldn't have a meeting.
It's interesting. So a dovetail. So I reflect on my experience.
Yeah.
When we start going down the road of, all right, we're going to create this team, and this team's going to address, and it's always foggy and jello-y type of a subject matter, which is hard. And what you're trying to do in this particular, recognize that there's a achievement drive, intentionality, clarity, and discipline, focusing in on a real concrete objective, whatever that is, concrete. So that it's not this nebulous thing that just sort of, you know, undulates around. It's awful. What I hear you saying.
It is crystal clear. It is crystal clear. And that should govern our meetings.
Yeah.
So we're never going to have a meeting that isn't producing progress in these areas we've said are important, right? We're never going to have that. And if we do, we got to go back and say, hey, wait a minute, we're not on purpose here, right? We're not handling our big why.
And I would imagine based off of what you're saying, it's imperative to do this in the beginning. You cannot just sort of do it, but you got to spend the time, energy, and effort to do that in the beginning.
Right. Well, I love your choice of words, Scott. We call these things, the clarity, the intentionality, and the discipline, we call those the three imperatives. It is imperative that you start with your team, right? And what we did was we said, okay, these are the three imperatives. Clarity drives intentionality, supported by discipline. What are the specific things that teams and managers could do to address those three? And so we created what we call six practices. And it's just a series of things to do, including techniques and tools that address those imperatives. And you're right. The moment you step through the door, if you're, for example, you've just been named manager of this team, right? Come through the door and say, guys, we're going to start with answering a few questions about why our collaboration is important. Oh, and by the way, I have to add one other thing into this. There's a bunch of work we don't need to collaborate on. Awesome. We got some great individuals who should go off and do that work by themselves.
Yes.
Excellent. Some of our work we'll collaborate on, and you will know exactly why it's important and exactly what you need to do. But some of it, you're on your own. Good luck. You're empowered. Get it done and enjoy the fruits of your work. So we keep that achievement drive in mind either way.
See, I really like that. And for me personally, I like the fact that I can, it's not a big elephant. It's a piece, it's a chunk. And all the other little noise and shiny objects that, you know, distract me during the day, have at it. I don't care, but it's not going to be a part of this organization, of this team, because we have the discipline, we have the clarity, right? And we have the intentionality. So I don't have to worry about distractions and stuff. That gives me clarity and that gives me that focus that I need.
And that's what teamwork needs, right? All the posters in the world aren't going to help you. And by the way, and we talked about this when we were chatting informally earlier.
Right.
There's a lot of money spent on what I call conventional team building. So ropes course is a great example. Going out and doing a paintball orienteering exercise. Look, that's a lot of fun. I get it. And it helps teams relax around each other. But what it doesn't do, what none of that does, is change collaborative outcomes.
Yes.
Right? Because people will, like the meeting you talked about earlier, people will leave the orienteering exercise, go back to the office, and then boom, they are heads down on whatever it is they got on their desk.
It is so true. Yeah, at least they know they can catch me in the trust exercise of me falling back. So that's right. All I care about is that they trust, I trust right. them to catch me. So go ahead.
No, please.
Okay, so let's shift.
Yeah.
We've done this. We recognize it. This is it. And I think going forward, it's the same thing. What do we do in this weird, you know, stew we call pandemic? I don't know what you want to call it. Going forward, how do we leverage these powerful tools, this stuff to help answer questions,
solve problems? I love this topic. First of all, and I'm something of a contrarian, so I always start with the thing that I think gets in the way. I've been working with an IT group at Mars, actually. Mm-hmm. And we had designed a remote session to address some of these questions around clarity and intentionality. And they canceled it. They canceled it, even though it was remote. And they canceled it because they're the IT folks, and in this pandemic world, you can imagine the demand on their time, right? Suddenly, we had to have enough bandwidth for everybody to work from home, right? So I get it. They're under a ton of pressure. And they just reached out to me a couple of days ago and said, we are in crisis mode.
Right.
And so is everybody. And they're getting burned out. And that's what she said. She said, we've got to do something to get focused. And this is exactly what we're going to talk about. They need to stop for a minute and say, guys, let's pause, let's breathe, even if we have to do it at 5 a.m, and let's answer a few questions. Where do we need to work together? Why is it important? Where do we not need to work together? Where can we create some space in our lives by working individually? What's our discipline going to be? I was talking about this yesterday with a group from George Mason University. There's a lot of work getting done now. People say productivity is up as much as 40%.
No way. But go ahead. Yeah.
No, it's up 40%, which is great. And you can imagine how companies love that. Why is it up 40%? Because people are working so, first of all, they're working from home. They don't have to commute anymore. They'll go to their desk at 6 a.m. instead of climbing in the car. So they're adding hours to their day. They're doing more. But the level of energy, and by the way, people are collaborating more. They're in touch more than they've ever been, which is fascinating. Huh. But it's because the world's on fire. It's because we're trying to figure out how to do this. And that's a high stress environment. And it can't last forever. We've got to find a way to say, how do we normalize this? How do we go back, even though we're working separately, can we all take a breath and find a way to get into a sustainable rhythm, move from crisis management to managing the business on a day-to-day basis?
See, what's interesting and what I see out there, quite frankly, is everything, and I mean every part of your business is a five-alarm fire.
Yep.
You cannot have that. And there's got to be ways of being able to take all these issues, which it's like it's human, it's operation, it's finance, it's everything, it's sales, it's whatever. It's everything's a five-alarm fire.
Yeah.
You've got to discipline yourself to say, okay, that's a four-alarm fire. I'll just sort of stick it over here.
Yep.
This is five. I'll continue and be able to sort of differentiate and make that focus intentional.
Right. And that's exactly what this IT team is realizing it has to do, because they're fighting all these fires. I love the way you said it, as if they're all five-alarm fires.
They're all five alarms. Like, ah!
Some no doubt are, but many are not.
Yes.
Right. And teams everywhere, take these principles I've talked about. That achievement motive, that achievement drive is in overdrive now, because everybody wants to make sure we don't let anything fall through the cracks. It's unsustainable. We need to stop and ask ourselves, where's the right place to apply all this energy? Where is not? What's the big collaborative why? What's the work that actually requires our collaboration, which doesn't?
Yeah.
Who actually needs to be involved in some of this stuff? This IT team, they're having meetings every day with everybody. Come on, guys. I get the sense of urgency, right?
Yeah.
But we can't keep that up forever.
That is impossible. And, you know, I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, Carlos, if we develop this discipline now, we don't know how long this whatever this is, how long that tail is. But I would imagine if we can develop the discipline today and deal with it, take a step back, mm-hmm. will help us on this journey of whatever this is and be that sort of foundation that you can start to sort of build off of. Because the companies that are just five alarm all the way through, there's no way, because we don't know how long this is going to last.
No, we don't. I think it's possible. So I get caught between I don't want to try to predict the future, and every so often it's something that occurs to me that might well, in fact, shape the future. So I think what you're saying, yes, if teams can adopt this approach now, and by the way, the other thing about this approach, when we get together and talk about our collaborative why, it creates a sense of unity and a team identity, right? It gives us a strong reason to be together and to work together. That's needed now more than ever, that sense of team identity around the big why and the what, because we're not together to reinforce our team identity. We have to do something. This methodology is good for that. And you're right. If we master it today, if we practice these skills and put these ideas to work now, it's going to serve us in the long term. It'll be way more fun when we can be in the same room together to have some of these conversations about the why and the what. I look forward to that time. But now is a great time because, yes, it will serve us no matter what the circumstances we're working in.
And it establishes the discipline. Let's say, once again, a lot of activity, a lot of shiny things that are happening within the life. You have to have that discipline to maintain that intentionality to move forward, and then have the discipline to say, nope, we're not talking, move that aside, and get rid of the noise to create pinpoint focus on whatever the objective is, the purpose.
That is precisely right. And one other thing, I hate discipline, right? I hate having to follow a bunch of rules. One of the keys for teams doing this is put in place a few appropriate disciplines that align with your big why, that align with the work you've chosen to collaborate on. Don't overdo it. Let's not have 1,001 team norms with posters on the wall about we'll meet like this and we'll stay in touch. Create what I call an aligned set of disciplines that match the clarity you've created and that support that intentionality. Keep it as simple as you can, because it'll start to wear on people, right? They'll start to go, yeah, we did this. We've been doing this for 3 months. Keep it fresh. Keep it simple. Keep it lined up with your big why and your big what.
I love it. All right. That's a great way to end this conversation, which I could go on forever. Carlos, are you active out there on LinkedIn?
I am, sir.
All right. So his name is, and don't you even begin to help me, Carlos. Don't even. You can do one of those.
Zip.
His name is Carlos Valdez. Did I get that one right? Valdez?
S. Think S.
I kept on saying S.
Valdez.
There
it is.
Hold on, Valdez. Okay, I got it right there. Dapina. Dapina. Did I get that one? All right.
Perfect. Now you got
Valdez.
It.
Valdez. All right, Valdez, that's Carlo Valdez. Dapina. And you can find him out there big time. You got to reach out to him. Man, you were dropping some great stuff.
Well, thank you. I love what I do, and I think the work. I think the work is important, so I'm glad to be able to talk about it.
Okay. You listeners out there, we're going to wrap it up on the other side, so don't go away, because you need to have... I mean, he's got a first chapter of his book, Lessons from Mars. I mean, we're going to have all these links. So anyway.
Great.
Thank you very much, Carlos. I appreciate your time. That was fantastic.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, you listeners, stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Three words. That's his name, by the way. Carlos Valdez Dapina. And he is definitely an author, founder, and managing partner at Corporate Collaboration Resources. You can't tell me after listening to that interview that you're not energized with strategies to be able to really bring a lot of efficiencies and success within your organization and externally. Once again, collaborate, must. Two, you got to innovate, must. Three, you got to educate. Doggone it, you got the World Wide Web out there. Educate. You got to take action. You got to have speed. And you're going to make mistakes. You need to get back up. Don't say, woe is me. Oh my gosh, it's too hard. Stop doing that. We depend on you. You're an industrial professional. You're a company. You are bold. You are brave. You dare greatly. You're changing the world and lives, and we're depending on you in this particular unique situation. I don't know what we want to call it, but we need you. Thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. Now, when we start talking about education, you got to go to the Industrial Academy. You got to learn. It's all about sales, marketing, and branding for you as a company. And it just keeps on flying. And it just keeps, you get the best of the best that I could provide on how to make you a success in the future. All right, enough with that. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We will be back later.